Father, we love you this morning. And God, we know what we know is already enough. God, you're worthy of our praise, no matter our circumstance. God, you're worthy. God, this morning we choose to set our hearts on you. We choose to set our focus on you. We lift you high this morning, Lord. We love you. And we ask that you'd speak to our hearts as we hear your word this morning. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You know, your section may have really sung out today and blasted away, but that section over there, whoa, that was loud today. Awesome. Very good. So I'm pretty sure they outdid this section, just saying. This section outdid this section, probably. Nah, I don't know. I'm sitting over there. Beautiful, beautiful. Please pray this week for myself and Susan and Tony Zepeda. We're going to Peru, and we're going to be teaching 25 or 30 house church leaders there in Molendo, Peru. And then after that, come back, got one day to sleep a little bit. And then Kevin, Elder, and myself, and Amy, and Amy Bing and Kyle Y are going to Cambodia. And we have 75 pastors coming this year, so it's going to be a crazy time. So pray for that. Please pray. Pray that the Lord will do what he wants to do, and we'll just get out of the way and just rest in what the Lord wants done. Okay? Got to go along with our series you're doing, Believe God, Love Without Strings, and Obey Without Reservation. We've got some little journals for you. They're $5 each. We've got New Mexico green and black. And so they're $5 each. You can get 2 for $10 or 3 for $15. So that's a real good deal right there on those. Think fast. There you go. All right. Okay. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Today we're talking about loving without strings. And I thought it'd be best that we talk about the foundation of love. Hard to love without love. Hard to love without the right kind of love. And this is the foundation of love in one passage. I think it's well summarized there. Now, to get our hearts focused for the application at the end, I want you to just kind of be on the wild side a little bit with me this morning. Do something very unusual in church. Nothing, you know, sacrilegious about this at all, I believe. I'd realize that what I think about what ought to go in church is often different from other people, but so please love me after this is over, okay? After the sermon's over. But there's a song that the Beatles wrote. Paul McCartney wrote most of it, I think. And it was released in 1966. And I think it's one of the saddest songs ever released. And to me, when I was studying this passage, I just couldn't not think about this song. So this morning, we're going to play this song, and I want you to read the words. I want you to sing the words. And some of you who were alive in the 60s, it is going to be very familiar to you. But it's a sad little song. So let's do it together.
Up the rice in the church where her wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing a face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for? All the lonely people, where do they all come from? All the lonely people, where do they all belong? Father Mackenzie, writing the words of a sermon that no one will hear. No one comes near, look at him working, donning his socks in the night when there's nobody there. What does he care? All the lonely people, where do they all come from? All the lonely people, where do came, Father Mackenzie, wiping the dead from his hands as he walks from the grave. No one is safe.
Y'all remember that? Wow. Father Mackenzie writes a sermon, prepares a sermon, and nobody came. Eleanor Rigby died in the church and was placed in the grave, and no one was saved. All the lonely people, where do they all come from? Now, after that song, John Lennon said that the Beatles are more popular than Jesus Christ. Now, I think John Lennon was giving an interpretation of that you got religion in this world and you still have so many lonely people. And he went on to say in the song, which Paul McCartney put most of together, but in that song it says that the loneliest people are in the church. That's what he said there. It was all about Father Mackenzie and Eleanor Rigby. Not real people, made up people for the song. But poor Father Mackenzie labors and labors and labors in preparing his sermons and darning his socks, getting his socks all sewed up and ready to go, doing his very best. And no one came. And of course, Eleanor Rigby, the jar by the door is her face. Putting her face stuff on. All that effort, all that struggle in life, they found themselves inside the church, lonely. Lonely. And I think there's no question about it that there are lots of real lonely people inside the church. There's lots of real lonely people outside the church. But until we put a stop to the lonely people inside the church, we're going to have a real hard time putting a stop to people who are lonely outside the church. Now, Jesus said in John 13:35, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Our love for each other will prove to the world that we're his disciples. We will be known by our love. We are not to be known by our buildings. We are not even to be known for what we believe or disbelieve, so to speak. We are not to be known for our issues that we face, that we political issues or moral issues or any sin out there that we would see as a real plight that we are going to just fight and fight and fight and throw that issue out there. Jesus said that he wants us primarily to be known as people that love each other. Jesus said the world will know that you're my people when you love each other. So I want to address this scripture today with this. If this scripture's in place and it is true, being true, and the result of the truth of this scripture, we ought to begin stopping out loneliness in the Church of the Crossing. No lonely people here. No Eleanor Rigby here. No Father Mackenzie here. Because he loves us, we love him, and we love each other. And we stomp out loneliness. So look in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7 and 8. Let's just kind of very quickly go through this. Dear friends, beloved, dear friends, dear family, dear brothers and sisters of the Lord, let us continue to love one another. Oh, let's love one another. He said, let's keep on loving each other. Let's never stop loving each other. The most important thing that you and I can do is love each other. Love each other. Love each other. Keep on loving each other. For love comes from God. The reason why we keep on loving each other is because love comes from God. It originates with God. Love is His idea. Love is His gift to us. And then he says, but anyone that does not love does not know God, for God is love. Now, if love is not present, then salvation is not happening. If you are not being transformed by love, you have an issue that needs to be resolved. If you can look back in your life and you say, love's not there. Love is not building. I'm not fighting loving people. I'm just kind of an old sorehead, and that's all there is to it. I mean, you know, a lot of people use that somehow or another in the church to say, you know, you just got to accept me for who I am. No. If you know God, you're going to be transforming into a person that loves. You can't stop God with that. You can't stop the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Christian people can't be soreheads. Christian people can't be unloving. You can't use, that's just the way I am. It's just my personality. You need to get a new one if that's the way you are. Now, you may not be flamboyant. You may not be an extrovert. You may not be someone that just lives outside themselves all the time. Whether introverted, you love. Extroverted, you love. You grow in love. You're a lover. It says here very clearly that anyone that does not love does not know God. Not born again, not saved. Dear friends, dear family, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Love comes from God. What kind of love is this? Well, let's look at 9 and 10. God showed how much He loved us by sending His one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through Him. That's love. What kind of love is? It's not phileo love, not brotherly love. It's not erotic love. It's not family love. The kind of love that God gives is agape love. It's sacrificial love. Unconditional love. So if we want to know what kind of love it is that God gives, it's love that we ourselves are not able to manufacture. Now, we're educated. We can love with some definitions of what it means to love. You can love people like brothers, you know, you can love people to a point, but love without strings is not possible without God. We love people so we get what we want from them. That's the only love man can create. We love so we can have peace. We love so we can get what we want. We love people so that we can sell something. We get along people. We treat people, you know, fair and amicable because we want something from them. But the love that God gives is a love that's without strings. He showed us what that love is by saying, look at Jesus. Jesus came and died on the cross. Sacrificial love. God showed how much He loved us by sending His one and only Son in the world so that we might have eternal life through Him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. So the foundation of love is Jesus Christ. God gave us Jesus. He died as a sacrifice for us. He died for us without strings. Isn't that an amazing thing? But God demonstrates His love towards us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so loving God's way, receiving the love from God, is not a love that we're going to get what we want. It's not a love that we're going to have answers. I'm going to love you so I can get back from you. It's loving without strings. That's God's love. And we see that in Jesus. That's the kind of love it is. If you wonder what kind of love it is, He says, just look at Jesus and what Jesus did. Verse 11. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, how much did He love us? Sent Jesus to die on the cross. Since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. How can we not love each other? If we all have that foundation of love, if we're all so secure in that foundation, how can we not love? We've got to work hard not to love. If you look at this, you see the way this is laid out for us. There's no way in the world that we can suppress our love when we consider what Jesus has done for us on the cross. Since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us and His love is brought to full expression in us. If we love each other with agape love, unconditional love, love without strings, love that we can't manufacture, God is in us. His presence is felt. His presence is experienced. And His love is brought to full expression in us. Now he says there, no one's ever seen God, but if we love each other, people will see God. That's what he's saying here. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, if you and I love each other, if you love her and she loves him and vice versa, if in this congregation we are truly, truly loving each other, loving the hard to love. As I look around this room, I could pick on people real quick that are hard to love. We got to love them though. Now come on, y'all know that, right? I'm hard to love, right, Susan? Hallelujah. I mean, if you're going to be friends with me, you've got to love a lot of junk. All right, I know that. I'm not like I used to be, but I'm nowhere I need to be, but I understand all that. You can look around this room. There's some real hard to love people in this room. They're here all the time. You know, there's no love, it seems like. You know? And so you have to overcome a lot. You have to love beyond sins. You have to love beyond, you know, poor attitudes at times. Right? But if we are, it doesn't say if we're perfect, the fullness of God is expressed. It says if we love each other, the full expression of God is seen. Now, we could spend a couple $1 million and put up billboards everywhere. We could have radio. We could have television. We could do all those things. And that doesn't mean one thing. It doesn't mean one thing. We can have buildings. We got a nice building here. We can't baptize with hot water, but we got a nice building. We just can't do it. But, oh boy, don't get me started on a baptistry. It didn't work for just 6 months. And we've got we've got some nice facilities. Not as nice as some places, but nice. There's nothing wrong here, right? But you can have all this stuff, and if we don't love each other, it's just empty. It's just worthless. It's of no value in the kingdom of God. But when we love each other, I mean when we love each other, when you love the weird, you love the crazy, you love the easy to love, you love the hard to love, you love those who don't love you, the full expression of God is seen. And so if you want your neighbor to be saved, love each other. Love, love, love. If you want your neighbor to know Christ, love. Love each other, starting here. Stomp out loneliness in here. That's where we begin. Who's lonely? Who's lonely in your life? Who's lonely at work? Who's lonely at the ball field? Who's lonely at school? Who's lonely in your Bible study groups? Who's lonely in your church? Who's lonely? Who do you see and you just feel they're lonely? We start there. We start loving them. We're not going to tolerate any loneliness. Why? Because Jesus Christ died for us on the cross. God loved us so we can love Him. And by George, we can't do anything but love because of what He's done for us. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us and His love is brought to full expression in us. And verse 13, it just gets better. Now listen to this closely. I think this might really release someone. This might really help someone. And God has given us His Spirit as proof that we live in Him and He in us. The Holy Spirit is proof. You feel the Holy Spirit. You experience the Holy Spirit. You hear the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit warms your heart. The Holy Spirit comforts you. The Holy Spirit convicts you. The Holy Spirit makes you aware of sin in your life. The Holy Spirit makes you aware of love. We don't know agape love without the Holy Spirit's work. And he says here, and God has given us His Spirit as proof that we live in Him and He in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify the Father sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them and they live in God. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings us to declare that Jesus is the Son of God. None of us declared that without the work of the Holy Spirit. None of us have. None of us ever will. Jesus is the Son of God. That's a work of the Holy Spirit. He's teaching that. He's bringing that. He's working in you. When you hear that sweet, small, still voice that says, listen to me, Jesus is the Son of God, that's the Holy Spirit. When you hear that. Now, the Holy Spirit's at work. He says here in verse 16, we know how much God loves us and we have put our trust in His love. When you grow in understanding how much God loves you, man, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. And so if you're sitting here today and an aspect of His love for you is just warming your heart, or there's an awareness, there's some kind of something going on in your heart, your soul, your brain, your mind, however it works, and you're feeling, man, God really does love me, that's the Holy Spirit. That's not you. It's not me. It's the Holy Spirit. You hear Him? You hear Him today? Do you hear Him reaffirming what I'm telling you? Do you hear the Holy Spirit saying, that's right? That's right. Say amen. That's what He's saying. He says, go ahead and give an amen. You said, oh, I'm not going to give an amen. No, no, no. He loves you. That's the Holy Spirit. That urged amen, that's the Holy Spirit. Unless you're trying to seek for gratification for yourself. And then that's all the reward you get. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. We know how much God loves us and we have put our trust in His love. The ability to put our trust in His love is the work of the Holy Spirit. God is love and all who live in love live in God and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows perfect. Perfect. Fullness. Complete. That's what that means. The Holy Spirit grows love. You don't grow love. I don't grow love. The Holy Spirit grows love. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face Him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. One of the benefits of loving God, knowing God, is you don't fear judgment. Because you know you have passed over from spiritual death to spiritual life and there is no condemnation for you who are in Christ Jesus. You have crossed over, no judgment. We're not afraid of judgment because the Holy Spirit has worked in us and the test is whether or not there's growing love in us. Now, if there's not growing love in you, please come before the Lord. Please ask the right questions. Come to Christ and say, Lord, reveal to me, am I your child or not? He'll do it right then and then. If you're not growing in love, you're not one of the Lord's people. But oh, if you're growing in love, you are. If you're one of the Lord's people, you're growing in love. You can't help it. If God is in you, transformation happens. And you start loving beyond yourself. You start loving more than you've ever loved before. You have to fight loving people. You have to fight loving God. You've got to wrestle with it. Your flesh wrestles with loving other people because love can't be contained. That's what happens when people know the Lord. Love enters their life. God gives them love. It's love without strings. The Holy Spirit grows that. And boom, there's an explosion of love in you. Do you love more today than you did this time last year? Are you loving more? Do you see that the Lord is growing love in you? Do you sense the Holy Spirit growing love in you? Love drives away fear. Such love has no fear, in verse 18, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is not for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced His perfect love. And so, concern of judgment, overwhelming concern of judgment, take that to the Father and ask what He wants you to do with it. We love each other because He first loved us. We love each other because He gives us love. We can't even love each other the way God wants to do without Him giving it to us. And we love each other because He first loved us. Verse 20. If someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. That person is a liar. The Word of the Lord says, you can't love God and hate a fellow believer. Can't do it. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we can't see? And He has given us this command. Those who love God must also love their fellow believers. So love begins in the body of Christ. It begins in the church. If we don't love each other, we are not going to have an impact on a lost world. If we don't love each other, it's a wonderful idea perhaps, but it's an empty exercise. If we don't love each other, we can give all the veggies away, but all we're doing is giving vegetables away. But if we love each other, the Holy Spirit will make that clearly seen, and people will see God. It says the full expression of God is revealed when God's people love each other. Unleash love, church. Unleash it. Let it go. Don't suppress love. Don't press it down. Don't fight that love, men. Hard on us men to love beyond ourselves. We don't like having fuzzy thoughts. We don't have these gooshy feelings. Let the love go. Love beyond yourself. The Holy Spirit is at work in you. You're God's child. The Holy Spirit is in work in you, cause you to love beyond yourselves. It is not sissy to love God's way. Look at Jesus. No way, no how was Jesus sissy. No way, no how. Men, love. Love your wife. Love your children. Love people in your church. Go out of your way to show that you love them. Why? Because He loved you. He sent Jesus to die on a cross for you. He has given you love, so you must be that beautiful vessel to just release that love. Church, unleash love. Let her fly. Every single day, just say, my mission today is to show everyone I come in contact with that they are loved, that I love them. I'm going to start in my home. I'm going to start in my church. I'm going to stomp out loneliness. No more Eleanor Rigby. No more Father McKenzie. Church, don't suppress the love. Surrender to the Holy Spirit. Just submit and let the Holy Spirit grow love in you. Let it happen. It's what God wants. Is love growing in you? The crossing, folks. Let's love without strings and watch what the Lord does. Let's watch what the Lord does with that love. Father, may Your Spirit show us, teach us, guide us this morning. May Your Spirit, Lord, just burn deep within our heart over this matter of love. Thank You so much for loving us. Oh my. Can't fully comprehend the love You have for us, God. But boy, Jesus died on the cross. What a place to start. To know for sure that our sins are forgiven. To know for sure that we are right with You. To know for sure that all is well. Oh, Lord, thank You, thank You, thank You. You are worthy of our praise. You are worthy of our worship. You are worthy, Father, of our devotion today. Because, oh, how You've loved us. You've showed us how much You've loved us. And Lord, we can love You back and we can love others because the love that You've given us is that firm, solid foundation. We just rejoice in You, God, today. In Jesus' name, amen. Ushers, come forth.